Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, my hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Thus far our text. Dear saints of God, if you had to pick a moment in your life that was the greatest, what would that moment be? For an Olympic athlete, perhaps it would be the moment the gold medal is hung around his or her neck, standing on the podium, listening to the national anthem. What would be your gold medal moment? Perhaps the day you got married, or the moment or moments your children were born. Or maybe it was some major accomplishment in your life. I wonder, what's the moment that you would call the greatest of life? Whatever that moment is, we could call that your moment of glory. It's the moment you're beaming, as if the sun was breaking through a small hole in the clouds and the sun is just shining down on you alone. It's also your moment of glory, not because it's just the greatest day, but also because it's something about who you are. What is at your core? So if it's family that's most important to you, then your moment of glory probably had something to do with you getting married or having kids. If you've worked hard to get where you are today, then the moment of glory probably had something to do with some milestone of your achievements in life. Or on this day that our nation remembers our fallen heroes of freedom, maybe your moment of glory has to do with preserving those freedoms, because they are what are important to you. You see, what you consider to be your moment of glory goes beyond what just makes you happy. It shows what is at your center. I wonder then what Jesus means when he says in our gospel lesson for today, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. This is an interesting line that speaks both of the Son's glory and the Father's glory, and they seem to be connected. So let's take them both one at a time. What is Jesus referring to when he says, the hour has come, glorify your Son? Well, if you read through the Gospel according to St. John, you'll notice that about 8 of the 21 chapters is spent on Holy Week. And part of that is because after the Last Supper, before the arrest of Jesus, Jesus goes into these long prayers and teachings like what we have in our Gospel lesson for today. So what does this tell us about our Gospel lesson today? But that it happens just before Jesus is betrayed, arrested, and crucified. So what is Jesus' glory? How is it that Jesus is glorified? It's when he is nailed to the cross. It's when he's suffering and dying for you. That is when Jesus is glorified. That's Jesus' gold medal moment. Now, that is completely opposite of how you and I think of things. How can a man's death be his glory? Normally, a man's death would be his lowest moment, the moment of being humbled. But the exact opposite is true of Jesus. For Jesus, his death is his glory. This is true, first of all, because there's nothing in this world in which Jesus finds glory. This is, after all, his creation. That he created everything. He spoke light into existence. He separated the land from the seas. That there's nothing on earth that Jesus is unfamiliar with. So that this world has nothing really to offer him. Yet this world does not exhibit his handiwork. Instead, because of sin in the world, this world has become a place that exhibits suffering and death. This is a world that goes against God and his word and is contrary to the life that he intended for us to have. So no, Jesus does not come to earth to find glory. Jesus does not come to find some gold medal, or Jesus does not come to be praised by humanity. Jesus finds his glory in suffering on the cross. But it's not that somehow Jesus enjoys pain and suffering. It's not as if Jesus likes anguish and agony. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, "If it were possible, let this cup pass from me." He didn't really look forward to this, and yet still it is his glory. Why? It is because Jesus is the all-loving God. Jesus knows that for sinners who by their own sin and transgression put themselves at odds with him, the only way to redeem this creation is to take on the punishment himself. Jesus does not enjoy suffering, but he is an all-loving, all-sacrificing God for you. Think of it this way. When a new mother is running on 2 hours of sleep because she must constantly get up to change a little diaper and must nurse her newborn baby, is it that she hates sleep? Is it that she despises a good 8-hour rest? No, but she gives it all up in a heartbeat because of her baby. That's why the cross and suffering is the glory of Jesus. Because in bleeding and in suffering and in dying, there Jesus is getting you back. It's there your sins have been covered over. It's there Jesus is conquering death and being the stand-in for the outpouring of God's wrath. That's the glory of Jesus. And in doing that, Jesus says, he glorifies the Father. Now, what does that mean, that Jesus glorifies the Father? Because that's a little different, isn't it? That when Jesus dies on the cross, he's suffering the wrath of God, the wrath of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But not all three persons die on the cross. The Father did not suffer on the cross. The Holy Spirit did not die on the cross, only the Son. So it's the Son's glory to die on the cross. What is the Father's glory? What's the Father's gold medal moment? And how is it that the Son glorifies the Father by dying on the cross? Well, you see, when Jesus gives up his life on the cross, he is making something known to the entire world. That the invisible God is now made visible and doing something that everyone now knows. What Jesus is making known to the entire world by his death on the cross is the heart of God the Father. That's why Jesus' suffering on the cross glorifies the Father. Because now that Jesus has died sacrificially for you, everyone now knows what the Father's heart is. Everyone now knows that the Father loves you. You see, apart from the cross, we could only assume what God thinks of us. And we would assume that the Father is a powerful God, but that he is probably mad because of our sins. And why shouldn't he be? If you look around in the world, or even if we just look in the mirror, we would assume God would be mad at sin. Yet in the suffering of Jesus, we know that the Father is not wrathful because of our sin like we might assume. Instead, the death of Jesus shows us that the Father has such immense love for us that he bought us back, that he made us his children and established an eternal fellowship with us. The Father is glorified by the suffering and death of Jesus because it's there that we have proof positive that the Father loves us and is not punishing us for our sins, but he embraces us with open arms. That is the glory of the Father. And dear saints, as Christians, that is our glory too. As we've been saying, this is completely counterintuitive. That no one would find glory in pain and suffering. But in light of the cross of Christ, we do. Now, we didn't get to hear it in our gospel lesson for today, but Jesus ends this long section in John 17 with these words. It's Jesus praying to God the Father. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Dear saints, we share in the glory of Jesus because we share in the sufferings of Jesus. That in our baptism we are crucified with Christ. One with Christ, we are left for a time in this world which we do not belong here. That the world of heartache, the world of suffering, the very fact that this world seems so incompatible to us as Christians is an indication that this is a world that is not our home. But we have been prepared for a world to come. And until then, we suffer. We suffer for the faith. Should the time come for us to decide between dying or denying Christ? Should the time come that we face imprisonment or deny Christ, we would still confess Christ. We suffer spiritual attacks, that the devil is trying to tempt us to despair of the promises of Jesus, trying to get us to believe that the things that God says are not valid or somehow don't apply to us. And we are suffering the effects of sin. We lose those whom we love. We feel the pain and sufferings of our own bodies until we finally breathe our last breath. In all of this, we glory. In all of this, we glory. How could we glory in persecution and temptation and suffering? Well, in all of this, we glory because the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, we know the heart of God. We know that when we suffer for the faith, they hate us because they first hated him. We know that when we suffer the temptations of the devil, he's making his best efforts against God's elect because he has already been judged. And when we are suffering the horrific effects of sin in this world, we know that our sins have been forgiven and that these sufferings are but birth pains to eternal joys in everlasting life with him. This is why our suffering is our glory. Why, for Christians, this is our gold medal moment. Because we suffer as one to have been died for, as ones for whom the Father embraces in love, because this is the very core of who we are as Christians, children of our Father in heaven who will stop at nothing to have us back with him. And so I leave you with these words from Romans chapter 8. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the resurrection, that the creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption into freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.